It's good to be together once again, even though maybe we don't appreciate some of our restrictions. It's still a privilege, isn't it, to come together. It's good to have some of our family here visiting, Shane and Ashley, all the way from Huron, South Dakota, with McKenna and Jamin and Johnny. Good to have you guys here today, and it's good to worship together in God's house. Amen. I want to draw your attention just for a moment to a couple things before we go into our service and we dismiss our BGMC. We do have summer camps going on, and this will be our final week this coming week, starting Monday afternoon. Our kids' camp will be taking place, and they'll come home on Friday. And be in prayer for that. Some of you know the Andersons, and something really special happened when Paige went to camp this last week. We still call her our own. It's wonderful to be able to have those connections that last for a long time. So she is one that went to the junior teen camp. We didn't have anybody from this building, church youth group, go, but Paige did go up to Glacier for that. And that was good to see and good to hear the reports back from their family. But we're looking forward to God doing good things in our young people's lives, and it happens often at camp. So keep them in prayer. We have the Real Gals Leadership Meeting coming up on the 12th of August, and that is an acronym. You'll have to check out what all that is about and enjoy getting to know that ministry as it forms and comes together under that new leadership. Backyard Bible Club, we did not do a VBS this year yet, and this is in place of the VBS, and so you have the specific details of the homes that there will be a Backyard Bible Club. Keep that in prayer as it goes forward, that it will be something that will not only be encouraging for our kids that will participate, but also the neighborhood kids that we're trying to reach out to as well. We want them to know the love of God and their whole family, and this is one of our hopes, is that we can embrace new families through this ministry to community. Let's see, anything else that I need to specifically mention? Everything else is further down the road, so we'll just leave it there for now. So there is no focal point this week because of the kids' camp, and both of our leaders are involved with that. So with that all said, anything I'm missing? Are we ready to roll forward? I know we had some plans, and they got changed for some of what we were going to do as a family, but we're still making plans for the future. We're going to have a dedication with the whole family together, and also we do have a baptism service we're going to do tomorrow morning. And I don't know what time we're going to do that. Do we have a specific time? We can maybe put that out there if you're interested in joining us. We're going to go out to Holliker Lake, and Keegan is going to get baptized in water, so we're excited about that. So all right, let's go ahead and dismiss our kids for BGMC. And while they're going, you can turn in your Bibles to Isaiah. As you look at the back of your bulletin, you're probably freaking out. Oh my goodness, how many points does the pastor really need to have? And if he preaches all that length of time like he normally does just for 3 points and we're doing 7, whoa, we're in for it. So brace yourself. I promise we'll be out by 2 o'clock. Guaranteed promise. No, that could be way before 2 o'clock, right? Isaiah chapter 30, verses 1 through 3. Wonderful to start off with this encouraging word. Ah, stubborn children. Aren't you blessed already? Declares the Lord, who carry out a plan, but not mine, and who make an alliance, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin. Who set out to go down to Egypt without asking for my direction, to take refuge in the protection of Pharaoh and to seek shelter in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the protection of Pharaoh turn to your shame and the shelter in the shadow of Egypt to your humiliation. Ooh, this is so exciting. Jump ahead to verse 7. Egypt's help is worthless and empty. Therefore, I have called her Rahab, who sits still. Now, you might wonder, well, why is Rahab being thrown into the mix? I mean, she is actually the mother of descendants that lead to Jesus Christ. So why is she being picked on here? Well, I had to look that up myself. Rahab, what does that have to do with anything? Well, Rahab translates as this: great one, proud one, boaster. So when you see names in the Bible, especially the Old Testament, there are meanings behind each name. And so when you see that name, you're wondering, well, what's the deal there? Why are we picking on that guy or that girl? Well, we're not. We're actually saying something that has been translated as a name because that actually is what it is. So the name Rahab means great one, proud one, boaster. So you could look at it this way. Egypt's help is worthless and empty. Therefore, I have called her boaster who sits still. Proud one who sits still. Great one. And I think Pharaoh would probably appreciate that, you know, because he, according to historical documents and even the Bible itself, Pharaoh thought of himself as a god. Continuing on from there, it says, and now go write it before them on a tablet and inscribe it in a book, that it may be for the time to come as a witness forever. For they are a rebellious people, lying children, children unwilling to hear the instruction of the Lord. Well, that's not good. That's not good at all. Who say to the seers, do not see. Well, I don't want to get into all the background historical stuff about what a seer is, who looks to the future, and we would call it like a palm reader and all those things. Well, the seer in this context is someone who is seeking truth and gives words of what is to come. And this could actually be a godly or a righteous person. It's not always that way. But nevertheless, to say to the one who's looking to the future, I don't want to hear what you have to say, is basically the point. Do not see. Do not look to the future. And it says here, do not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy illusions. That sounds like what we read in the New Testament, doesn't it? About the end days and how we will have itching ears for certain things, but we don't want to hear the truth. Leave the way, verse 11 says. Turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel. Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and rely on them, therefore this iniquity shall be to you like a breach in a high wall, bulging out and about to collapse, whose breaking comes suddenly in an instant. Whew. Can you picture that? You got this great big massive wall holding back something. Whether it's the enemy, when I look at it, I picture earth. You know those walls that you build for the garden and you think, oh, that looks so pretty, that looks so nice. You got those nice laying stones and, oh, you work so hard on that. And after about 4 or 5 years, what happens? All the pressure from the earth's push extends that wall. It begins to bulge. And pretty soon it's not going to hold and it's all going to come tumbling down. Or maybe a dam that is holding back floodwaters can only hold so much pressure. It's about to burst forth with what is coming from behind. That's what I see. Verse 15, for thus said the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust you shall be your strength. But you were unwilling. And you said, no, we will flee upon horses. Therefore you shall flee away. And we will ride upon swift steeds. Therefore your pursuers shall be swift. God is trying to get a message across to the people. Here's what you need to do. And they say, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to do that. I have a plan. My plan is to go to Egypt and let Pharaoh protect me from the enemy who happens to be Assyria. And I am therefore going to trust in his mighty might and his chariots and his armor and his warriors, and they will keep me safe from the enemy. And God says, no, go back to Israel. Go back to Judah. Go back to Jerusalem. Stay put. I will protect you. And they say, no, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. And so rather than returning to their city, because they're caught in the middle as they're traveling to Egypt, rather than being strengthened in the quietness of the Spirit of God, they are going to flee the horses as they planned, and they're going to have to flee really fast. You choose to run, you better run. How many have ever seen that happen in your own life? Where you're playing around with something, let's call it a steer, and he sees that, ooh, he's afraid of me. Hoo-hoo. And pretty soon you start to run. What's that steer want to do? Well, it kind of eggs him on a little bit. Or maybe it's a wild heifer that just can't be stopped. You ever see that happen? I was helping do some branding right after we did a cow-calf separation one time, and the older gentleman of the farm and ranch was standing there as this heifer jumped a 7-foot fence, flipped out on the other side with all the calves. And he looked over at me, and his face was purple. And then he says, I wish a deacon would say something appropriate right about now. Now, it's from a joke that he must have heard at one time, but he thought, oh, and so anyway, when you're in those situations, you know, animals like a mountain lion, I've been told, don't run away from mountain lion. How many have heard that? Okay, all of you are going to be in trouble if you mean it. Because they're going to run after you. Well, God is saying, if you're going to run, you better run. Because the enemy's coming fast. Wow. What's the point here? Well, we'll get there. It says in verse 17, 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one. At the threat of five you shall flee, till you are left like a flagstaff on the top of a mountain, like a signal on a hill. Therefore the Lord waits to be gracious to you. What does he do? He waits. Therefore, he exalts himself to show mercy to you. He wants to show you mercy. Listen, he wants you to do what? Wait. Don't run. Don't react. Don't live in fear of the enemy or anxiety. Don't let it overcome you. You need to do what? You need to do something so simple and yet so profoundly difficult. Wait for God. Don't get ahead of him. He wants to be gracious to you. He exalts himself for what purpose? To show mercy to you. He's in control. He is the one of all authority. He is the Almighty God. He wants to show you mercy and grace. The Lord is God of justice, it says. And then the final word of what is the point of the entire day is this: blessed are those who wait for him. Wait. This is so relevant for us right now. We have all these fears, all these chaotic things, all these discussions that are happening in our world that's causing us to live in fear, anxiety, anger, bitterness, resentment. It's all over the place. Whatever is relevant for you in this word today, you need to listen clearly. Wait for God. He's got the plan. Amen. The story, I've told it numerous times over the years. I couldn't recall if I actually shared it here. But I couldn't help it. I'm going to share it. It's based, I believe, on a true story. I can't say for sure. It's in one of my illustration books that I came upon years ago. In the darkest part of the night, a ship's captain cautiously pilots his warship through the fog-shrouded waters. With straining eyes, he scanned the hazy darkness, searching for dangers lurking just out of sight. His worst fears were realized when he saw a bright light straight ahead. It appeared to be a vessel on a collision course with the ship. To avert disaster, he quickly radioed the oncoming vessel. This is Captain Jeremiah Smith. His voice crackled over the radio. Please alter your course 10 degrees south. Over. To the captain's amazement, the foggy image did not move. Instead, he heard back on the radio, Captain Smith, this is Private Thomas Johnson. Please alter your course 10 degrees north. Over. Appalled at the audacity of the message, the captain shouted back over the radio, "Private Johnson, this is Captain Smith, and I order you to immediately alter your course 10 degrees south. Over." A second time, the oncoming light did not budge. "With all due respect, Captain Smith," came the private's voice again, "I order you to alter your course immediately 10 degrees north. Over." Angered and frustrated that this impudent sailor would endanger the lives of his men and crew, the captain growled back over the radio, "Private Johnson, I can have you court-martialed for this, for the last time. I command you, on the authority of the United States government, to alter your course 10 degrees to the south. I am a battleship." The private's final transmission was chilling. "Captain Smith, sir, once again, with all due respect, I command you to alter your course 10 degrees to the north. I am a lighthouse." Is that not what we do to Almighty God? "God, I have this plan. This is not working out so well. It looks to me like we're on a collision course. Will you turn 10 degrees, alter your course?" God says, No. "You alter your course, young man. You alter your course, young lady. You're on a collision course because you're heading for the rocks. You're heading for danger. I'm not the one that's got the wrong plan here. It's time to listen to what the Lord has to say." And the people of God in this day were not getting it. They had an unsanctioned alliance between Judah and Egypt. The alliance was formed because the people in Jerusalem and Judah are afraid of the Assyrians. The Assyrian army is on a rampage. They're taking over land. They're taking over the cities and the regions and the countries. Rather than trust in God to protect them, they turn to Egypt. Why? Because they have horses, they have chariots, and they have the strength of man to fight off the Assyrian army. The problem is that the Egyptians have no desire to get their hands dirty. And they're going to sit idly by as the people of Judah are carried away to Babylon as captives. The Egyptians put on their proud airs. "Yeah, sure, we'll help." That's where the word Rahab comes from, and the boasting, but they're not going to do anything. They act as if they're going to help, but they are only giving flowery promises. If you read the entire text, you see all of that laid out. What does this have to do with us? Are we also guilty of relying on the things of man to protect us today? Only you can answer that for yourself. I have to answer for my own. Do we believe our president can save us from harm? Or maybe the next elected president, if you so choose. Maybe we think that government regulations will keep us safe from harm. Conceal carry. Or gun-free zones. Or, let's go there, mask, no mask. Should we really be daring? Vaccine, no vaccine. In this world of uncertainty, I want to tell you that you can rely on God. If your hope is in regulation, if it's in the president, if it's in some kind of protection from certain laws and standards, here's the bottom line. You are susceptible to attack, pain, frustration, the rocks around the lighthouse, that the walls could burst forth. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be involved in the politics, because we should be. I hope that you plan on voting when November comes. I hope that you invest in some understanding of who stands for what, and you find somebody that will meet your parameters of what you think a leader should be, and you vote for that person, I hope that you do get involved and have your say in this free country of ours. But if you think that a president can save you from the destructions of what is to come, you are way offline from where your reliance needs to be. Now, I have opinions about our president today. For the most part, my opinion is that he's done a pretty good job. That's my thoughts. That's my opinions. For the most part, when I've known what decisions he's made, I felt strongly that they were in line with what my beliefs are. I have no shame in saying that. I will say this. President Trump can't save me from myself. As a matter of fact, I'm surprised he's been able to get anything done at all with all of the harassment that's been continuous since day one. What will it be the next time around, whoever is elected? If you think that the president of the United States is going to make all this wonderful stuff just quiet down, everything's wonderful, and I like this word, hunky-dory. That's a good word. We need to bring that back. Bring it back. Everything's hunky-dory. Everything's peaceful and wonderful. No, that's a fairy tale. If you read the Bible, you know that it's only going to get more chaotic and more scattered and uncertain. So what do we do? What's the options? What are we going to do going forward? Well, we're going to trust in God. And I'm going to wake up every single day with peace in my heart and joy in my spirit, and I'm going to know that God's in control. And I'm going to choose to accept his leadership in my life. And when he says jump, I'm going to say how high. When he says go, I'm going to say when and where. Oh, I don't get to know where, but I'm going. Because you said go. You'll provide the answer when I get there. That's awesome, Lord. Really, can we do it a different way, please? Right? It's like, okay then. I guess I'm just going to have to step in faith and you will provide as I go. Ah, I don't think he's ever done that before. Ha, 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 that's sarcasm. Matter of fact, if you want to put it on paper, he probably does it more that way than the other. So let's look to the Word of God and let's find encouragement in our faith to know that we can wait upon God and he will provide. Don't run ahead of him. If you do, you're going to have to turn around and go back anyway, so why bother? Psalm 27. I've been watching Forged in Fire. Anybody like that show? If you don't get into Forged in Fire, that's fine. But you're really missing out. I mean, it's awesome. It's great. You're making knives and swords and bows and crossbows and all kinds of ironwork and steel. And it's really awesome. But what's funny is these guys, they get going and they get in a hurry and then they mess up. And they have to go all the way back to the beginning and start all the way over. How many times does that happen on the show? It happens a lot. And I look at that and think, oh, Lord, help me not to do that. I don't want to have to go back to the forge. I don't want to start all over with my billet. I don't want to have to start over with a canister. I don't want to have to do the Damascus all over again. I'm learning all these cool things. Someday I'm going to get a forge, and you're going to say, oh, wow, what's that fire over there? Oh, that's just the pastor burning down his garage. No big deal. Psalm 27, verse 14, what does it say? It says, wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. You will find strength if you wait upon him. Blessed are those who wait for him, the word of God declares. They that wait upon the Lord will what? Number one, will find strength. Do you feel weak right now? Do you feel overwhelmed? Do you feel like you're not strong? Then you need to be in the Word of God. You need to be in prayer with him, open to him interrupting your day, not just while you pray, but as your spirit is open. And if you wait upon him, you will find strength. Amen. Now we're going to move on. Believe it or not, this is going to be a short message. The longest part of the message probably already happened. Psalm 37. Now, I can't make a promise there because I don't dare. But I'll try to be true to that statement. Psalm 37, verse 34. Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. You will look on when the wicked are cut off. They that wait upon the Lord will be exalted. You feel lowly. You feel like you don't have any worth. You feel like all the world around you is rising up and overruling and intimidating, and you're just this low person on the scale of life. Well, that's not the truth. You are a child of God, and you have every blessing from God before you. Hold on to that promise and wait upon the Lord, and he will exalt you. We know that in the New Testament, we've heard it said, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will do what? He will lift you up. Don't become proud and arrogant as the world is. Humility, wait upon God, let him exalt you. Moving on, Psalm 62. Psalm 62, verse 5, and also verse 6. For God alone, O my soul, wait in silence, for my hope is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. Where do you put your hope for security? Now, this is a really big deal, ladies. It's big for guys, for the men, but not as big as it is for you. You are hardwired with the desire and the absolute need to feel secure. It's the way you're made. If you try to find that security on your own, you will not find it. You should find some security from your husband if you're married. You should. And just a side note, men, step up. Step it up. Be that guy that can bring that security to your wife. She needs that. But ultimately, if that's where your whole reliance is, you will be disappointed. Your husband cannot meet all your needs and security. He has a requirement and a call of God as a husband to do so. But to the level of what your spirit and your soul desires, it cannot be done. You must find security in God himself. He is the one of whom you will feel secure. Trust him. Put your hope in him. Those that wait upon the Lord will be secure. Now, men, it goes for you as well. Do not become proud and arrogant and thinking you can do it on your own. You need to find your security in God. He is the one to provide that in your life. Let's look at the fourth point, Proverbs chapter 20. There's a lot of unrest in our world. It's only going to continue. So we need to look to the source who provides. Proverbs 20, verse 22. Do not say, I will repay evil. Wait for the Lord, and he will deliver you. But I have my rights. I mean, did you see what she said to me on Facebook? I have a right to retaliate with venomous exclamation points and capital letters. Because that means I'm shouting. And she knows it. I will repay. Stop. You're the one that brought it up in the first place. Of course you knew that's the reaction you're going to get. You're a stir the pot person. Am I stepping on anybody's toes today? Maybe everybody, their toes are on the internet getting stepped on. You guys are fine. No problems here. You feel like you have a right to defend yourself and you're going to repay evil with righteous indignation. No, it's evil. What you're intending is evil. God says, don't. Let him deal with it. Amen, amen. Yeah, stop. Let's move on. Right? No, it's time for us to recognize it's not our job to correct the entire world with all their sins. That's not our job. Our job is to love them and show them what it means to be loved by God. Mercy, grace, forgiveness. Thick skin. How about that one? Turn the other cheek. Let's let God deal with it. Amen? Wait upon him. He will take care of it for you. And trust me, it happens. Numerous times over the years, I found myself being, convicted of the Holy Spirit for what I wanted to say and do. And I relied on him, I trusted him, and I backed away. And you know what happened? God took care of it. Boom. Done. Don't worry. He's got your back. Isaiah chapter 40. I was talking to somebody about how to respond, and they said, well, I'm going to respond with kindness so I can reap burning coals on their heads. I'm like, I don't think that's what you're supposed to be looking at from. You know, I'm going to be really super nice, and then it's like, burning coals! Ha, 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 ha. No, you're missing the point, amen? Don't misuse God's word. That's shameful. Don't do that. Isaiah chapter 40. I'm getting there. Wait upon the Lord. Why should we wait? Because we find strength. Because we will be exalted. Because we will find security. We will be delivered, and we will persevere. I don't like that word either, but we're going to persevere. Isaiah 40, verse 31. They who wait for the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now that sounds all wonderful and flowery, but it's really not. They that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. For what reason? Because you're so tired that you think you're going to crash and fall. But God will give you supernatural strength of wings like eagles to be able to soar without having to move because you're so tired. You will just soar. Some translations would be more accurate to call these vultures rather than eagles. I know that doesn't look as beautiful, but it's true. You ever see a vulture just soaring over the wilderness and the deserts? They don't do a thing. They just let those wings ride the winds and the currents. And that's the supernatural strength of God to give you the ability to fly when you feel so tired and worn out. You will run and not be weary. Wouldn't that be great if you could just run and never get tired? Okay, I'll meet you over at Runnings. I'm going to run there right now. See you in a few minutes. Hey. Oh, there's John. Hi, John. And you're just running. And you're running. Never get tired. Wouldn't that be cool? You know, the word is, that's the way it was before the flood. Yeah. Oxygen levels were 2.5 times greater than they are today. That you could literally run without getting out of air. Never depleted of oxygen. Wouldn't that be awesome? I wonder if God was thinking about that when he said those words through the prophet. If he was saying, remember back then? Well, no, you don't, because you wouldn't be here. But it was like this. You could run and never get tired. But it's running. It's running. Running's not easy. Walk and not faint. All of these things take energy. All of these things are things that you have to put forth energy and action to in order to be delivered. But you will be. You will find the strength to move forward. To be able to persevere is the word I was looking for. To persevere through the challenges of what you're facing. You feel overwhelmed, you feel tired, you feel like you're going to faint. Trust in God. Wait on Him. Amen. Acts chapter 1. Jumping to the New Testament, waiting upon the Lord, you will find His anointing. Acts chapter 1, verse 4, while staying with them, He ordered them, Jesus speaking to His disciples, don't depart from Jerusalem. Wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, you heard from Me. You're supposed to wait. And so they did. And verse 8 comes along and it's describing what they waited for. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Trust Me, He is worth waiting for. He is worth waiting for. Wait upon the Lord and find His anointing that you can be a witness of Jesus Christ. In this last one, sometimes I wonder if it can't come soon enough. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. Wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. That word still stands for us today. Jesus Christ, who has been raised from the dead, is coming. He's coming back, and we're waiting for Him. He will deliver us from the wrath to come. Let me put your heart at ease. With all the chaos in the world, with the COVID-19 pandemic, with the election that is really getting kind of scary when you look at all the parameters of what's happening, when you see the handwriting on the wall that total chaos is just around the corner, trust me, you will not experience the wrath of God. That should have been a great amen spot. You will not experience the wrath. You think this is wrath? Serious? This is not the wrath of God. This is a calm, if you will, before a great storm. The wrath of God, when it comes pouring out upon this earth, we will not be here. We will be gone out of here. Goodbye, world. Hello, Jesus, face to face. Will you experience tribulation? Yes. Of course. We all will. But the great day of the Lord, what we call the great tribulation, is so horrible when you get into the wrath being poured out. It's nothing we've ever seen. And thank the Lord, we will not. This is a promise from the Word of God. You can know it's true. Jump ahead to chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 15 through verse 17. For we declare to you by a word from the Lord that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. That's people who have died in the faith. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with the cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. Who? What do we have to look forward to? We have the taking up of the church, the bride of Christ. We have named that the rapture. It's not a word that you will get in the Bible verbatim as it's said in the English, probably more likely because it didn't exist. It's taking up is what rapture means. And we will be taken up to meet Him. So, we will wait upon the Lord to be taken up. Chapter 5 gives a few more words and then we'll close in prayer. Verse 9 through 11. Here's that reassurance. Once again, we already saw it in chapter 1, but let's say it one more time so the people don't miss. It says here, God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. They that wait upon the Lord will be taken up. It's going to be an awesome day. It's going to be a terrible day, but an awesome day. I say terrible for those who are left behind. I have my perspective of when it will take place, and I can give a pretty good scriptural basis for why I believe what I do. But I believe at the moment of the rapture, it will be the time when catastrophic events hit worldwide and the earth will be shaken to pieces. Volcanoes are going to erupt. Earthquakes will take place. We're going to have islands literally sinking into the sea according to the word of God. And I do believe at that moment we will say, bye. Gone out of here. Will you wait with me? Let's wait upon the Lord. Let's find strength. Let's find ourselves exalted, not because of our pride and our ability, but because of his greatness. Let's find ourselves living secure lives. We are at peace because we know he's in control. We will be delivered. The enemy can't stand against us. We have the power and the authority of God. As we wait upon him, we will find deliverance. We will persevere when it's getting tough, when it's hard going, when we don't feel like we're going to make it one more lap. We can run without being tired, because he will give us that strength as we wait upon him. And we will find his anointing in these last days to be his witnesses in this world. And we will love people right where they are. We will not judge them. That's God's place to judge. We will love them and we will bring them to a place of understanding the wonderful salvation that we received because we're empowered and anointed from the Holy Spirit. We wait for him. He anoints us. We witness. And though we may want to continue on, we want to see all people get saved, the day will come when God says, enough. It's time to come home. Let's not get ahead of God. Don't live in fear. Don't let anxieties control you. Let's be wise. Let's be considerate. But let's trust God. Would you stand with me as we close? Lord, thank you. Thank you for the encouragement that comes as a challenge. We have the tendency to want to run ahead. We want to start whacking on that metal with our big hammers. Forge that thing out in a hurry because we're under some kind of a time crunch, we feel. And then we mess it up and we got to start all over because we didn't wait for you. Give us an extra blessing of your spirit to have the patience we need to know that you have not left us. It's just not time. We'll wait. We'll trust you. I pray, Lord God, that you will just encourage us all as we walk in faith. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you have a desire to come to this altar, to just kneel in his presence and just let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart, please come. This altar is always open. Even if it happens while I'm speaking, just come as the Spirit prompts. But trust the Lord as you wait upon him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.